It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than an after-school battle for your soul. You can join our chat room, Den Pen. Go to davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast. Also, we're on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page. We shouldn't echo, but I'm sure we will. I don't know why. Audio is better on Davin Comedy. I suggest that. I'm your host, Davin Roseblood. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Joe will be here shortly. I might have to... I got to keep my phone where I can see it because we had pre-show tech issues. Joe was no longer there when I could make him privy to what was going on. So
yeah,
we will adjust on the fly. On!
It wouldn't be Tuesday without tech issues.
Joe's here. So let's see if I can do this. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on, everybody.
All right. Man, your battle. What can you do?
Everybody sounds good now. All right. On the show, in School of Fools, a school hides merit awards from their students. That was Pip's blog. A Satan After School Club wants to get established in Virginia. And we will talk to June Everett, the campaign director for the After School Satan Club. That was a lengthy interview. I actually cut it in half for this show, and I think I will post the full interview on Thursday if people want to hear the full thing, because you can't do a 30-minute interview, as interesting as it was for me and probably for you. You can't do a 30-minute interview on the show. So it's a 15-minute interview, which is long, but I think we got to the issues at hand. But I'll post the full thing probably this week. In Scambusters, we're going to tell you about what is supposed to be the five biggest scams to look out for in 2023. And they are mega scams. When they say big, they don't mean popular. They mean like stuff that's going to really affect a lot of people. We've never done this before. We're going to look at predictions from 100 years ago. 100 years ago. And see which came true, which didn't. I also whipped up a couple of predictions. I didn't ask you guys to. But if you want to on the break, come up with a couple predictions. Feel free. But I whipped up a couple predictions. We'll see. You know, when we do this show 100 years from now, we'll see if I was right or not. And our annual look at the Lake Superior State University list of banished words. And we will do something creative with it. Spoiler alert. I wrote a song / poem about the New York Jets. So we've done a lot of political stuff in the past, but I'm fine politically. But those Jets, so they are my subject tonight. We'll find out what Pip and Joe wrote about and scamming scammers with Mary. So Pip, I didn't get to what you wanted to talk about last week, but then you said earlier this week you didn't remember what you wanted to talk about. Do you remember what you wanted to talk about?
No, you know what? Like my background, for those of you watching on Facebook, it is a flame. My memory has become a dumpster fire. If I don't get to something right away, it incinerates itself.
All right. Well, I know. Rich Coburn. I don't even know what the hell that means. That's Joe's name.
What does that mean?
I don't.
Joe's.
Know. Oh, by the way,
Joe's coming up.
Yeah, he does this to annoy me. He said, but I'm not really annoyed by it. It's just okay. But Joe had something he wanted to talk about. Joe, what do you want to talk about?
No, I just wanted to say how nice it was at Bananas this weekend saying goodbye to Denise, the room manager. A lot of people came down, a lot of comics on stage, you know, and it was a really great night, and it was very good send-off to her.
So for those who don't know, Denise was actually on our show several years ago. Denise has been managing Bananas for 36 years, which is a long time anywhere, and she's not an old woman. She's a little bit older than me. Been managing it for 36 years over a couple different owners. She's also the booker of the club, and she still is the booker of the club, but she is retiring from managing the club every weekend. So I mean she would take a little bit like a vacation here or there, but she was there every weekend. That's a lot of weekends. And I always tell Denise, telling her for years, you are one of the few good ones in the business, because our business is filled with despicable people. Besides the comics, I mean, there's a lot of despicable comics too, but like just people that are awful, that treat you bad, that don't treat you with respect, that have no regard for you, that will not back the comics up when something happens on stage. And Denise is the absolute opposite of that. So this past weekend was Denise's final official weekend. I'll just leave it at that. Final official weekend managing the club. I mean, you know, she'll pop in now and again. And one of the acts that she picked for that final weekend was our own Joe Curry, which is a nice honor for
great.
Joe.
It was an honor. It was an honor to do that. And the thing about it is, she's been there for 30. I've been working there for 20 years. I think David's been working the same time. You don't just do gigs together. You go through life together. You know, mm-hmm. You have kids, you get married, you get divorced. I mean, you know, everything. And it's always, you know, when you're working there, you know, 3 to 4 times a year, it's a way to catch up. So you go through life together, you know, and it's always, you always look forward to seeing that person, you know, to have a good time with her, have a weekend, hang out, talk, see how everybody's doing. So it's kind of sad that she won't be there, you know, won't be there in the room, you know?
Yeah, and there was a lot of comics. I'm going to say between 9 and 15, I don't know the exact number, of comics who were not working, who were not on the show. Joe was on the show, who were not on the show this weekend, who came by to say goodbye to Denise. I always tell Denise that I'm going to see you, but to say goodbye to Denise. And then Denise wound up going, "You're going on stage. You're going on stage." I came by, you know, just to say goodbye after the first show started on Saturday. Just to say goodbye. She's like, "You're going up on the next show." I'm like, "I'm what now?" I was.
Yeah, everybody was dropping in. Everybody was going up, you know. So it was really good. Joey Cola, to his testament, is one the sweetest man in this business. Got her flowers. Melvin George brought like cookies and stuff like that, you know. So it was really nice. It was nice.
Joey did such a nice job. Joey was the headliner. The headliner she wanted to quote unquote go out on again. You're still going to see her from time to time, but the official end of the, you know, it's like these bands, like, we're not going to tour anymore. You're going to tour sometimes, but like the official end. And Joey is such a gracious guy. He's like, you know what? Cause a lot of times, here's the thing with comedy, a bad comedy show very often has too many people on the stage. So by the time it gets to the headliner, they're all burned out. Joey's like, I'm just going to do 30 because he's got to do a representative job. Normally, Joey would do 45 or whatever. But he's like, you know, you guys go up. And he was so gracious. And at the end of every show, well, at the end of the two shows I saw.
At the end of every show.
You know, he would bring.
I would, you know, Friday included.
He would bring Denise up and give her a round of applause. It was funny. Denise was plastered by the end of the first show on Saturday. I was talking to her today about that. She's like, I never drink at these shows. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, you had a good reason to this time. And, you know, we all got it was weird. Here's the weird thing: I didn't perform on that first show. I didn't plan on performing at any of the shows, but I didn't perform on that first show. I came too late. But She drags us. She asks us to go on stage. Joey asks us to go on stage. So we all go on stage for a shot. And then at the end of the show, you know, the comics who are performing, you know, they say goodnight. Joe's saying goodnight, and Joey's selling stuff, and Mick Thomas is saying stuff. And I'm just standing, and some of the other ones who performed are just standing there. And I'm just standing next to Joe BSing, and people are coming up to me. Great job, really funny. I'm like, I should not perform more often. This is a much better reaction.
Really? That's hilarious.
It was the fun. Like, I could stop them. Like, at first, like, I didn't do anything. But then it's like, okay, whatever. You know what? I get so, in my career, I get so much crap for stuff I didn't do. I might as well get some accolades for stuff I didn't do.
Yes, but may as well.
And the weird thing is, if you do stop by a show and you're hanging out having a drink, you know, you'll hang out, you know, bullshit with your friends during a meet and greet. And sometimes you forget you're not on the show. And people are just walking by you, and I thought I had a good set. I go, if I was here, yeah. Sometimes you go, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? You were in the show, asshole. You're sitting drinking a beer.
Yeah, I Joe will actually come to comedy shows that he's not on. I don't do that. I said to Denise on Saturday, I go, and I talked to her again today, I said, I don't think I've been to a comedy show that I wasn't performing on in at least 20 years. Denise still goes to shows when she's not working. She's such a fan. She will go see shows, go see comics she likes, and this, that, the other. Yeah. Me? I'm not. No. If I don't have to be there, I'm not being there. And I was obviously a comedy fan, but I don't come. But, you know, for Denise, you make the drive. She's that special.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I met her when I went to see Davin one time. She was lovely to me. I mean, and I'm just a person, you know. I'm not, you know, doing stand-up. I didn't have to schmooze to her because I'm not trying to get booked. But, you know, she was really nice. It left me with, that was many years ago, and I still remember her fondly.
Well, she's a lovely person. Now, the interesting thing is, Denise, if people are acting out of line in the audience, Denise will handle it, which is becoming an increasingly rare thing. So there's a couple of different people that are potentially going to replace Denise, and Denise is not a large woman. She's actually pretty small. You know, one of the concerns is, you know, she's like, I'm concerned, you know, these women, are they going to be able to get up in these people's faces and handle? I go, Denise, most male managers aren't going up to the audience and handling things anymore. I go, Denise, this is one of the reasons why you're loved and respected. You go up and handle business. And I guess there was an incident that was not Mick's fault. Mick Thomas was the feature, Joe's pal. I guess there was an incident on one of the shows. And of course, true to comedy, we can't have nice things, and people act like assholes, and Denise had to handle it. On her final weekend, people are still assholes.
And the weird thing Mick was explaining to me, Mick was going into this one bit where the setup was very important, and these girls were talking. And Mick's, you know, Irish guy says, excuse me, ladies, can you just keep it down a little bit, you know, you're going into this bit. And the guy gets pissed off and tells Mick, you made my wife cry. And I'm like, fuck you, I make your wife cry, you know? I mean, dude, you got to handle your woman, you know? I mean,
yes, Joe, I could just imagine you saying that on stage. Never. You would never say, by the way, I wish you would, because that would be tremendous. That would be amazing if you would say that, but you would never say that.
No, but not, you know, but look, Mick didn't say it either. Mick has no patience for anything.
No, I was talking to Denise about it, and she said Mick was so kind and so nice about it. Like I could just imagine if a guy's being a douche and go, oh, you made my woman cry. I would have probably said, yeah, like you do every time she sees your dick. Now shut up, stupid. That's probably what I would say.
If it was, you made my wife cry, I'm going to make her come if you don't shut up.
Hey, why can't you do that on stage? Those are two great comebacks.
I have to keep working. But the thing about it was Mick, I think there was something that happened, maybe the comic strip, or maybe McGuire. I think it was McGuire's, where he had words with some guys that wasn't his fault. So on the way home, he's going, he goes, I don't know, man. Maybe it's me. And I go, no, man, people are assholes, you know? I
mean, yeah, they are.
I've worked with you for years. I've seen your act for years. It's not like you're the problem. You know, it's just that people are fucking weird now because the internet gives them a voice. And they think they can use that voice every fucking where they can go.
Well, you know, you make a good argument against the infrastructure package, Joe. Maybe we don't need to give people more high-speed internet. Maybe that's the problem.
See?
Damn you, Biden! you're causing mayhem in the comedy clubs. Not giving us enough grid material, but you're causing mayhem, giving more people access to the internet with a voice that, quite frankly, we don't want to hear.
We don't need to hear.
Yeah, well,
a lot of them.
So it was. I was glad I left my abode, which is rare when I'm not working or having someplace to be. And yeah.
And the funny thing is for me is that on Friday, one of my partners during my day job, the day program came down, brought some customers with him. So you know, meanwhile, I'm doing a comedy show. Right after that, I'm in the bar with schmoozing with network, and I handed my business card. You know. Trying to get some business. So it was a Friday. I mean, it was a very productive weekend for me on both sides. And then we might be doing some comedy shows with the day program, and I'll probably be working with Davin. I'm putting that together in the new year. So it was a very nice, productive weekend, man. It really was.
Well, I mean, and let's be honest. A lot of people came out to say goodbye to Denise. I said, Denise should retire every weekend. She's a bigger draw than most of the comics. And it's nice. Now Joe has a new credit for his resume. Worked Denise's last weekend. So it's good.
Yeah. It was an honor being requested for that gig.
Absolutely.
There's so many comics out there, you know.
You know what's funny though? She's a Jersey girl. It's a Jersey club and she picks three Long Islanders. Are you fucking kidding me now?
Wow. Well,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. But you want to know something? He also said, like, at Governor's, you have to do the meet and greet. John, you know, they want you to do the meet and greet, say goodbye to the patrons and stuff like that. And I guess the reason she might have an affinity with the island comics is she once told me, she goes, you could always tell the comics from the island, from the Governor's comics. And I'm like, why? You're the only ones that really do the meet and greet.
Oh, that's that's bullshit. I've been meeting and greeting for years. Sure, I have DVDs, CDs, shot glasses, condoms, T-shirts.
If you're not selling stuff, we're still, you know, I don't know if you still do the meet and greet, but basically in us, on the clubs out here, they expect you to do, which isn't a problem, you know. I mean, without them, there's no show. I don't have a problem with it, but a lot of comics, Dave, I'm not pigeonholing you, but a lot of comics, man, you know, the city comics, guys from out of town, they just go in the back and hang out, you know.
Well, in their defense, you've met the people. Would you want prolonged exposure?
Yeah, usually you had enough of them, but nonetheless, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Listen, it's a lot.
Find that a little intimidating doing the meet and greet afterwards. Like, well, what the heck do you talk about?
Well, no, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I mean,
curse, but you get the curse.
If you have a good set, it's a nice little ego boost. It can be a nice ego boost. You know, if you didn't do well, you really don't want to go back out there. To be honest.
Yeah.
No. I would imagine not.
About your fucking career, but what are you gonna do?
So anyway, yeah. It was very nice to be there on that final night for Denise. Joe, the one set I saw, did a very good job.
So did you. Had a good set.
Thank you. Joe did a lot of new material. Joe's always got new material these days. So did a lot of new material.
It's the workshops. So it's all the mics.
Yeah, I feel like I'm lagging behind. Like, I have some new material. I'm not writing like I used to, but maybe I'll get back. But I'm more motivated when there's somebody in the White House that I don't like. I'm much more prolific, which is probably the reason why Joe's writing so much now. You know, Joe's writing about inflation and shit, has a fun joke about eggs and everything.
There wasn't that much, you know, I mean, the stuff that I do on Biden I've been doing for the past year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the new stuff that I'm doing is pretty much like about me. You know, and like tomorrow night, I'm going back out to Alibi tomorrow night with the guys.
No, but the inflation stuff, the stuff about eggs, that's all timely and current. And
well, the funny thing that I was telling Mick is that I did the thing about the eggs, and what I said was, I go, eggs are so expensive, and while I'm doing the joke, I'm like, where am I going with this? And I'm like, all right, this is something I saw on the internet. I go, yeah, I go, I saw a hen wearing a Prada bag, you know, which got a laugh. And I did it the second show, but I was telling Mick on the way home, I'm like, you know, I want to do the joke, but I'm not using that punch. I got, you know, it's like, you know, don't look at the internet, too, but figure out something on your own.
So, it's a shame. It's a shame. Here it is. I like that joke, and I thought you came up with it. I should have known better.
No,
shame on me.
And the only reason I did it was, Dab, you ever go into a bit, and you're like, where the fuck am I going with that?
You've seen the act. When am I not doing that?
Yeah. And I'm like, let me just grab this straw for tonight. For the two shows, and then I'll just write another line. I'll work on it tomorrow night at the.
Well, I had like I said, I wasn't planning on going on stage. I had the shows I've been doing recently, as I've discussed on the show, been a lot of privates and crowd work stuff. So I'm a little rusty. So I don't know what I want to talk about. And then I'm like, I want to say something nice about Denise, and I don't know what I want to say about that. It's like, okay, so. So I kind of said this thing because I have this line that I say at Bananas, you know, welcome to the – because it's in a hotel. Welcome to Bananas Comedy Club and conference room. And I say something about doing a PowerPoint presentation. So I said something to this effect. You know, Denise has come from a conference room. Yeah, I'm doing a PowerPoint. Denise has come from a conference room and Hasbrook Heights to a conference room in Rutherford, New Jersey. What a career. Yeah. But yeah. But it was nice. A lot of comics said a lot of nice things about her, and it's all well deserved. So here's something, and then we'll take our first break. You guys can weigh in on this. So the wife and I are watching our stories. I'm watching 90 Day Fiance, one of the incarnations, watching the commercials, and they keep on running there's this new special, I think it's on HBO, about a cult leader. They, you know, cults are very, very big business these days. And I go to my wife, I go, I think I'd be a good cult leader. And she agreed.
Yeah, I agree.
You agree? Now, why would I be a good cult leader? I'm not disagreeing with you, my child.
Well, I think, first of all, that once you have an idea in your head, like how things should be, you're pretty consistent about it, but you're also, ferocious in your opinion. And the other
let me stop you right there, because clearly you're not fully indoctrinated. It's not my opinion, it's the correct way. That's the first thing. Joe, you're gonna get shunned. Joe will be shunned. Joe is not one of the chosen Davinisms.
You coaxed us into this for 13 years and I think what a day. A lucky 13 years.
Oh, wow. 13, yeah.
How quickly time goes by? When I was going through all that stuff, when I was pretty much coming to the show as a mental patient, that was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, this week.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
Good time. Good times. But anyway, back to me, because if I'm going to be a cult leader, we really need to focus on the important thing. So you think Pip, I have the ability to drive a point home continuously?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, because when we do anything that involves debate, actually every show, you have your point and you're tenacious. About, like, especially tenacious about getting your point across and beating aside anybody else's opinion until I think that the person is just so worn down. They're like, yeah, he must be right.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you come to the cult, I don't have to beat down an opinion on you because you're ready for the wisdom. So
I don't know when you don't beat me down. I fight back. I'm the congressman that's got to be shot by the airport.
Don't give me ideas. Don't give me the first order of business for my cult.
Well, that's why you're going to be shunned, Joe.
Well, he's willing to be shot. I mean, you know, as cult leader, you know, I'm a little different than most cult leaders. When somebody has a good idea, they have a good idea. I was incorrect. I said shunned. Joe is absolutely right. He should be shot.
That's funny. I think that should you have that in your mind. Yeah, that would be scary.
Now, what I'm afraid of, like, is the paperwork. Like, I'm going to need to, because you have to keep track of all these people, because I'm in charge of their lives now. You know, it's the day-to-day, Man, because a good cult leader has his finger everywhere, you know, in their activities, in their women, in their children. That's what a good cult leader does. Really hands on.
Ew. I have a visual. Ew.
Well, Pip, God. That's what a good cult leader does. I mean, you really have to get in there. You know.
I don't want to know in where.
But I mean,
step away from that visual. Like
a good cult leader can never call in and go, "I can't be bothered with your nonsense." A good cult leader has to handle everybody's nonsense. It seems a bit exhausting.
So what you're saying is you're going to micromanage.
Well, I think you have to, at least initially, to break the free spirit that needs to be broken, and to show that I'm right.
Let me ask you a question: when it comes time for Kool-Aid, do you make it yourself? Or do you trust somebody else to make it? Because too light, people start to run off in a daze. You got to make sure they die immediately.
First of all, this again is why you should be shot. Kool-Aid's been done.
That's what I questioned.
No, hold on. You know? That you would think I'd bring Kool-Aid to the dance. Kool-Aid's been done. I'm not a hack. Okay.
So what would you try to kill us with?
I don't want to kill you at all. If you do what you're supposed to do, I'll kill you with kindness.
Some of them restaurants that you've been going to, you might as well bring a doggy bag home. That'd probably bump us all off from the fucking chow you've been eating.
It's funny.
The leftovers.
Well, I mean, obviously we would have to start a...
All right, I'll have some.
Obviously, we would have to start a campaign to put those people out of business. I'd have to use my minions to do that. But no, why would I want to kill everybody? I don't want to do that.
You would enjoy having minions way too much to kill them off.
Exactly.
Yeah, but sometimes you could be a sourpuss, you know?
But here's the thing. I can focus my sourpussedness at those who are too stupid to join. Why would I? I'm not a mean person. I don't want to kill the people that are correct and are with me. The incorrect, if they don't bend to.
You're not a mean person, but you're about as cuddly as a porcupine. So, you're a little optic there.
Yeah, but a porcupine doesn't prick his family. A porcupine pricks.
I don't know. I was worried about what you were talking about, where your fingers were before.
No. I would be good to my people.
You'd be a benevolent leader.
Yeah, and I think that's what sets me apart. I don't want them to die. Let's be honest. I do run things better than a lot of folks, so they're gonna be happy. The question is, what do you do with the questions? I think you have to give them a dirty look and go, "Really? Are we doing this? Really?" And just make them feel bad about themselves.
That was my wedding vows, but.
All right.
Really, are we doing this?
All right, Joe might have some value. I'm on the fence about what we do with Joe. I'm on the fence. He might have some value.
Well, let me ask you a question. You run this joint. What's your deal with it? What's your objective? What's your idea of your oasis in this place?
Well, because I'm a benevolent human being, shit will finally be done correctly, and there'll be less aggravation. Less aggravation for me, less aggravation for society.
Really?
Yeah, I don't need everybody to drink the Kool-Aid, as you said, and die for me. And I don't need to tell them that I am the greatest. They will see that I am the greatest. I don't need to brainwash anybody. If you are open to my wisdom and listening to me, you will see that your life is better if you just let me handle this stupid shit.
Yeah. You know what? So far, you got two cats on board. So
I honestly not either one of these cats. I have no cats on board.
All right, how about the fish? The fish got no choice. Second call.
No, you know what? I feel... My wife's feeling about this was kind of to Pip's point is, but a little different. She feels I'm very charismatic, I do get what you're saying though. Like, how do you initially hook them in if you're not saying you're some type of chosen deity? But really, that's a little yuck to me. I mean, you know what I would say?
You're about as charismatic as a liver buffet. I don't know.
But you're stupid. Again, you have to be educated to be in my cult. I'm not for the stupid. We don't have time for the stupid.
Let me get this straight. When you want a tuna fish sandwich, do you have your minions run out to any Subway available?
If I was in charge, I wouldn't have to go across four states for a tuna fish sandwich. Tuna would be available every place, every day.
Oh, please, he'd have a lab where they would specially design the tuna fish menu for him, so it would be at his beck and call at any moment.
Let's be honest, Pip. Let's be honest, Pip.
I don't think he even served this shit.
Let's be honest, Pip. If I could tell you one of the perks to being in my group is that there will be a tasty tuna fish sandwich at any time, your ears perk up.
Yes, they just did. I'm actually kind of hungry.
See?
That's sounding really good.
Yeah.
And this is where I'll fuck up. See, you know, it's like, I don't like the way you are. We're going to banish you. We're probably going to have to end you being here. Really? Doing a foot long.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I'm ready. I'm down.
You'll bend.
No. See,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you will. I've seen you go to 7 Subways on an Easter Sunday trying to find a tuna fish sandwich. If I whip out one with tomatoes and stuff like that, you're not going to go, you know what, you're in.
But again, I've solved this problem because we'll have enough people with a hot, there'll be plenty of places to eat tuna fish. You're not thinking, you think I'm not going to have to deal with this nonsense anymore because there'll be enough people that think rightly like I do. I don't need a Hindu taking off on Easter Sunday. You're a Hindu. Stop it. You take off for your holidays. It's your restaurant. You're a franchise owner. I don't need you taking off when the Easter Bunny's coming down and Jesus wants to do an encore. It makes no sense. You don't believe in that. Now open up and I'll have a tuna fish sandwich. See, it's logic.
Right. You get people to come into the store. You're losing your shirt on an Easter Sunday because the only dope showing up for a sandwich is you.
No, that's not true. Look how many people go to like diners or Boston Market on Thanksgiving or Christmas. People, you know, sometimes people want the comfort. They want something easy. They want something simple. They don't want to be hassled. Again, I'm solving problems. Joe, you probably wouldn't do well in my little group, and that's okay. We're not for everybody, and I don't want to be for everybody. I don't want to be for the unwashed masses. I want to be for the washed special few.
You know why? Because all I'd be doing all day is looking around going, Jesus Christ, what is he doing?
No, you know what? You know what? You'd be happy because I'd be solving problems like your constant occurrences at Walmart and shit like that because we'd have the right people doing things. Because
really? You could solve that. Why don't you work on that before you compound?
I don't need a...
Joe is an unbeliever!
Listen.
Sean!
Listen, I don't need Joe. Joe believed Donald Trump was a successful businessman. I don't need somebody with that thought process. It's fine. Joe could be a non-believer. I don't care. Joe can do the special of the E! Network or Discovery Channel, you know, when they interview people that used to know me. And Joe could be, you know, throwing little pebbles like Joe does. That's okay. That's fine. I don't need... You are going to reveal yourself. And that's fine. I'm a very secure cult leader. See, a problem with a lot of these cult leaders is they get insecure. I'm very secure. So we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Yeah. You want to deal with more? I got a moron for you at the day program.
No, I know. The pitch isn't send me your morons. That's not the sales pitch.
Believe me, God almighty, I deal with fucking morons doing that.
Listen, if I wanted to get the morons, I'd have a MAGA rally. I don't want the morons. I want the intelligent that are willing to have things done correctly. That's all. And listen, you know what? You move up in my chain of command if you can show me a better way than I know. If I can, well, now you're a prophet. So now you move up. So I'm encouraging you to think. It just ultimately rests with me. Is that a better way to do things? And I don't want hassle. So if it's a better way, it's a better way. I'm good with that. You get to be a prophet. We will have a level of profit, and you get to be a prophet by creative thinking and problem solving.
What are you selling fucking Amway now? What are you doing? No! It's
not Amway. It's not Amway. It's a better way. That's what this is. You see?
That is the name of your cult.
Well,
Better Way.
Why don't you go find a Holiday Inn and have a seminar on your cult?
And well,
coming.
Gavin will tell them how his way of life is better and refreshments will be served.
I guarantee you, when I do that, it will be well attended and it will grow from there. Listen, you got these white supremacists having meetings in Holiday Inn conference rooms, and they're a bunch of morons. And you know who comes out? Other morons. So if I can actually, you know, have literature, to quote the late, great Steve Bix, if I can have literature to show people, you know, what we're planning to do, this will be well attended and grow. It's not a matter of would this work. It's a matter of do I want to put in the effort. That's really what we're, that's really where we're at with this.
You're going to show up with literature and more stains on your shirt than a Motel 6 mattress.
No, I'm not Bix. Listen. You know what, Joe? Just to make you feel part of it, I'll have you set up the lights and backdrop for my conference.
What are you paying?
Not paying you anything. You get to be in my presence. That's good enough. Listen, it's about the going rate that you get on many weekends.
I'd rather pull my toenails off with a vice grip. No, thank you.
Well, that's what you do all the time. Nobody's hanging out with you because you're insufferable.
Oh, my God.
See, Pip, we don't want Joe. Dick El Dorado will have to go on his own. Dick El Dorado will have to wander the desert. That's fine.
You have already assumed that I am one of your minions, I noticed.
Is this a show meeting?
Pip, let's be honest. We've had many heart-to-heart real conversations off the air. You could do a lot worse than by suckling on my bosom. You could do much worse.
Okay, another visual. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I know. Where's the vomit bucket?
again, Joe's a miserable. Joe is what we would have a big picture of stupid on the board and go, don't be this. And then we would go through the many reasons why not to be this. And the people go, huh, that makes a lot of sense. Look at that. Yeah, I don't want to get a steak at the dollar store. I don't want to be this. See, that's okay. I don't want to get the expired burrito at the dollar store. Don't be this. I don't want to fight every 3 out of 4 times with the people working at Walmart. Don't be this.
I don't know how you can't fight with the people at Walmart 3 out of 4 times.
Because when you're a Davenite, there's an inner peace, a calm. You realize that the vast majority of people are morons, and there's no reason to be upset and engage.
I already know that. Because I feel there should be a certain sense of common sense and thinking outside the box. And when I don't see it, and it's so obviously in front of them, and they don't because they're so narrow-minded in their box, I don't have patience with
them. All right, well, nobody's asking you to join, stupid. I'm not trying to recruit you.
You think you and you're going to, as the leader of the cult, your cult, you're going to have patience with that?
As the cult grows, these people will be working amongst us, amongst you, and they will know how to problem solve. They will know how to handle things, so the rest of society will benefit from my teachings. Even you, a non-believer, a pagan, a filthy animal, will benefit from my teachings.
Not so much. Now, is there an interview process like at the Holiday Inn? Do you consult with them at the table before they leave?
No, I'm not a hypnotist, stupid. I'm not a hypnotist. I don't have to work the crowd to see who's going to fall for my bullshit.
But you also want to make sure that you got the right people.
No, I don't. No, I do not. It is open for everybody. I'm not for everybody. See, that's another thing a lot of these cults do. They want to get everybody and everything. No, I don't want you. I want quality human beings that are
So what's the weeding out process going to be? You just can't say that.
Joe, the weeding out process is the weeding out process is the video of this conversation. I show them you. I go, are you like this guy? If they say yes, I go, get out. If not, we continue talking.
And you're going to believe them? You're
not going
to check a resume?
Resume. Listen, people lie on a resume. We covered that story last week with your congressman.
Daniel comes in. Yeah, I'm the guy. Now, but wouldn't you? I don't think your selection process is that foolproof. I think you're going to have.
Listen. You need to. Here is my fatal flaw. Clearly, I don't make good hiring decisions. I see your point.
Well, you know what I think.
And you still haven't learned your lesson. You know,
how do you know? know? How do you know? I haven't brought anybody else on. I'm just so benevolent. I keep you kids around. I haven't brought... Trust me, this would never happen again. This happened once. It was good. It's fine. It would never happen again. I learned.
Well, you know what? The thing is that people are not going to show up and tell you their actual body of work.
I know.
Oh, and let me tell you something. It works. We will spend 3 hours together every week for no pay and have fun. We will obey. Yeah, you got it. It's 13 years we're doing this. Yeah.
Well, the only part where you keep getting wrong is the obeyance. That's the problem. But you know what? If I give you pastina pasta, you'll be fine. Listen, you got to give the people like little carrots. I understand. Again, I'm not trying to kill my people. I don't want my people to be miserable. These are going to be happy people. We're going to be well functioning. We're going to accomplish things. We're going to create a better society. You know, listen, just don't be a douche. That's like one of the big tenets.
Everybody,
I'm out.
Nah, you're fine. You're a good human being. I mean, you know, there's issues.
Thank you.
There's issues. You're not going to achieve. You're not going to go all the way up the ladder. Let's be honest, Pat.
But clearly not.
No,
I can't get up a ladder.
No, exactly. That's test four: climbing a ladder. Literally climbing a ladder.
Literally.
And Joe would fail too, because if it gets too high, he'll get us scared. So that's why.
What? By the way, what kind of shirt is that you're wearing? It looks like the top of an eye chart.
It's a fraternity shirt.
Okay.
You never heard of ZBT?
No. Sounds like a fucking an enzyme you get. You screw.
No, it's a very well-known national fraternity.
It's the next wave of COVID. Don't you read the news?
Now, what are you going to call your cult?
I guess Davinity.
No, we already established that. Well, no, better way.
A better way or Davinity. Davinity kind of has a ring to it.
Divinity's nice, just enough, you know, to keep it under
the radar and keep the FBI at bay. Well, who's to say we won't have members of the FBI as part of my, I don't call it a cult, I call it a family. Who's to say we won't have members of the FBI as part of my family?
Could be. We'll call Vinny.
yes.
Maybe.
Maybe. He's in.
There you go. Listen, it involves a lot of work. It's just a matter of, do I want to do that work? That's really where we're at.
Yeah. You know what? But I think that it would take so much of your time trying to sift out the morons, you know, the wheat from the chaff, if you will.
That's the problem.
You would get aggravated. You'd have to, like, I think that you'd have to, like, you know, designate a minion to help you with that. And how are you going to pick that?
Well, it pretty much, she's got like a big open mic rule where you show up, you go up. So I don't know. Like I said, there's no quality control.
Here's the quality control. Everybody gets to come to the meeting. And then what I say is, I appreciate you guys coming to the meeting. Now we're going to go to, we're going to go to the Beyonce concert. Just go out that entrance. And I'll tell them what the entrance is. And if the bus doesn't pick you up, you didn't make the cut. That's all. We just leave you there.
Yeah.
Okay. Beyonce. Very random.
I was trying to think of somebody that like nobody could deny is talented. You know what
I say. Yeah.
You know, it's because everybody has their own musical taste and everything. I was watching South Park and they did something about the Jonas Brothers. It was an older episode. I didn't want to say the Jonas Brothers. And I didn't want to say, like, one of my dated rock bands. So everybody likes Gaga, somebody like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So, listen, okay. we're all going to go to the Gaga concert, go out that door, and if the bus...
Here's where you don't think. Maybe you do. Where are you getting the bus? Are you paying for the bus?
Of course.
Paying for the bus. I know the bus runs, and you know, for how long is the bus going to sit there?
Listen. If God can come with his hand out every goddamn weekend, why can't I? People will pay. I mean, God allegedly created all this stuff, but he needs my shekels? What type of bullshit is this? He's always got his hand out.
Right, there's going to be a bus outside going there. Well, we got to pay for the bus. How much is the bus? And we got to pay by the hour. How long is this bus going
to
sit out?
Initially, I outlay the money. But then once you become part of the family, there are family funds. You will give to the cause, and that's how we pay for things.
Nice.
It's all worked out.
Yeah, it's just like a school bus. You know, they would take you on the field trip. They'd sit out there and eat their sandwich or whatever they would do.
But you said it'll all work out. Have you priced the bus?
Joe, set
up
that
stumbling block.
This is where. So, all right, so Pimp, here's what we've established.
If the bus is $150 an hour, or maybe $300, it'll all work out. All right, have you factored in what these guys got to bring in to offset the amount of the bus? Because nowadays we're going to start pulling money out of it. You're going to start pulling money out of it. Ain't my bus. You're going to out of the bill to pay for the bus. And you know,
listen,
the Beyonce concert. You know, are you bringing them to the concert? Are you dumping them off in the parking lot? Is the bus heading back to the bus point? You got to come back. That's another $500.
Pip,
you're not as organized as you portray
Pip,
yourself here.
The fact that Joe is concerned about modes of transportation just proves my point. He's already in.
The fact of the matter is, I'm thinking of you sitting there as the be-all, end-all. Jesus Christ, you're probably about a grand in the hole, and we haven't even been here for about 20 minutes discussing.
Money, it's not about money. The money will take care of itself.
Go
they will
the
give.
Bank. Yeah, but Joe, every big item, every big project needs startup capital.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to get the startup capital. That's what everybody starts with. And then you go from there.
Are you going to have them buy in at this meeting? Or you
no, you don't buy in at the meeting. There's no buy-in at the meeting.
All right, so where is this money going to come from?
If you are selected to join the family, you hand over your funds where we take care of everything for you. You don't have to worry about keeping the lights on. You don't have to worry about we take care of everything for you. And from this pool of money, and listen, some people have more money and some people have less money, but we take care of everybody equally. It's really quite lovely.
All right, Joe Biden. Sounds good.
See? Why not? It does sound, or as we call it, Europe. You know, it does sound nice. They're very happy in Denmark. Why not?
Yeah.
You know,
except for the, you know, all the months of darkness.
No, but I mean, Denmark is like highly taxed, and they every year gets like the happiest people in the world. So look at this as a tax, Joe.
You better be making margin 6 months in, or there's no more cult.
You know what? Maybe we'll keep Joe on to work the books.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll just keep Joe away from the general population. We'll put him away. We'll have Joe work in a closet somewhere.
Yeah, don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah. Oh, Christ. Oh, that was the Santa Booker calling me.
I was like, where do we have that kind of cha-cha music coming from?
No, I you know, we're actually going to take a break anyway. So Joe's okay. A skeptic as usual, and Pip's on board as I would expect. Thank you, Pip. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm skeptical. I'm just trying to help you out.
No, you're not.
No, yes, hey.
You know what you are? You're like Patricia Heaton. You know, she joined one of those cults, and now she's all now her vagina's all sandy over it. That's you. You're just starting with a sandy vagina. That's okay. We're not for everybody.
You better sit with a calculator before the first meeting.
Look at Joe. Listen, are we going to make our margins? That's the big.
Yes.
That's Joe's big concern.
You know, look, they always say a cult runs on love, but it really don't.
Listen.
No, it runs on good tuna sandwiches.
It's,
you had me at tuna sandwiches.
I know. Listen, I know what makes the people happy.
You got to learn what makes the bank happy.
Listen, I've already figured out the financial aspect. I'm not like a lot of these cult leaders. They get greedy. No, here's the problem. A lot of these cult leaders, they need to live in these huge compounds by themselves. Man, I don't need that. I don't need to be rich. I just need shit to run properly. That's the difference.
I understand that, but it's going to run properly if you have the if you have everything settled and you have everything running like clockwork and you know what everything's going to cost.
Let me tell you something.
What everything's going to cost, it's not running like clockwork.
Let me tell you something. If Donald Trump has taught us anything, if you have a good line of nonsense, people will buy in. So I'm not worried.
So maybe you'll have a big rally in an arena or something like that.
Maybe we will have a rally. And I'll tell you another thing. Our hats will be much better looking. Well, we've talked about the hats. Terrible hats. But yes. And it won't be red. Maybe maybe green. All right, let's take our first break, and then we'll come back, and we'll do some School of Fools. On the break, we have new music from Figos with Chaos, and you can learn more about Figos at la-caverecords.com, and new music from Mikuma featuring Jessica Mercy with I Come Undone, and you can learn